ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما، أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. Inshallah, just to make what we've discussed concerning Allah's names and attributes, to make that a little bit clearer, what we'll do is go through a topic concerning muhkam and mutashabih, clear and unclear. The word muhkam comes from the root word hakama. Hakama. To judge, to pass a verdict. Hakama. Imam Al-Qurtubi, who died 671 Hijra, he said the word muhkam is, you will play the word, whose interpretation is known, its meaning understood, and its exposition clear. It's the word whose interpretation or phrase, whose interpretation is known, its meaning understood, and its exposition is clear. Muhkam. Mutashabih comes from the root word shabaha, to resemble or to be similar to. And technically speaking, it means resembling, and there are two meanings, resembling and being unclear. And the things that resemble one another, the first meaning is kind of similar or related to the second meaning, in that two things or things that resemble one another, they are unclear or ambiguous. So for example, twins. Okay, if you generally don't know them, the first time you've seen them, identical twins, they resemble each other, so perhaps it will be unclear to you which one is which. This is the meaning of mutashabih. Things which resemble one another and are difficult to distinguish and hence unclear. So Allah Ta'ala, He has called the whole Qur'an muhkam, and he's also called it mutashabih. He's called it clear and also unclear. Whole Qur'an. So these are the verses from the clear book. Muhkam. And in Surah Yunus, verse 1. Therefore, he calls the whole Qur'an muhkam or clear. Likewise, he's also called the whole Qur'an mutashabih. He says, Allah sent down the best statement, a book that is mutashabih, often recited. So he's called the Qur'an mutashabih, as well as muhkam, the whole Qur'an. Therefore, the verses of the Qur'an, so first of all we said it's clear from the first ayah. In the second ayah we see, therefore, that the verses of the Qur'an resemble and complement one another in eloquence, in beauty, in the laws and legislations, in the aqidah, and so on. Can you see that? a way of how it's mutashabih, and the verses of the Quran. They resemble one another from the angle that they all have a level of eloquence, a level of beauty. They all bring similar laws and legislation, and they all have one aqidah. So it's mutashabih from that angle. Likewise, it's muhkam as a whole in the fact that it's clear. It's clear what the message of the Quran is. And then he's also said part of it is muhkam and part of it is mutashabih. So he says, Allah says, in it are verses that are muhkam. They are the foundation of the book. Explains it. Verses that are muhkam, clear. They are the foundation of the book. And others are mutashabih. As for those who have a deviation in their hearts, Allah says, they follow that which is mutashabih, seeking to cause confusion and chaos, and seeking its ta'wil. But no one knows its ta'wil except Allah. And those who are grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in all of it. We believe in it all. All of it is from our Lord. Surah Ali Imran, which is number 10, which is number 3. You mistaken the slide. Verse 1. This is actually wrong, so I'll try to find the correct reference to show. I'll give it later on to show. So he said, and there are two ways of reading this. There are two ways of reading this ayah. One was from Ibn Mas'ud, and one was from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. It's the second part of the verse in which Allah says, but none knows its ta'wil except Allah. And the pause, one of the pauses, one of the ways, in one of the ways of reciting it, is a pause after the word Allah. So that would mean, but none knows its ta'wil except Allah. Pause. And those well grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it all of it is from our Lord. So no one knows the ta'wil except Allah. And those well grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it all of it is from our Lord. That's one way of reciting it from one of the companions. The other authentic way as well, of reciting it, is pausing after the word, وَرَاتِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. So, you pause here. He says, but none knows it that we except Allah and those well grounded in knowledge. Pause. They say we believe in it all of it is from our Lord. Okay? Which is fine, because the ayat we'll go on to explain this pause later on, inshallah. Which So the first way of reciting that ayah, or the second part of the ayah, that is stopping after the phrase except for Allah. But none knows this ta'wil except Allah. False. And those who are well grounded in knowledge, they say you believe in it all of it is from Allah. This was from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. And the second way of reciting is stopping after and those well grounded in knowledge. She says, but none knows it's ta'wil except Allah and those well grounded in knowledge. Pause. They say. So this is by Ibn Abbas. This is a reading authentically ascribed to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So what is Allah saying here? So the ta'wil or the interpretation or explanation when referring to Allah's names and attributes is of two types. One is the ma'na or the meaning, and the other is the kayfiyah, the howness of those attributes. So, as for the first reading, but none knows its ta'wil except Allah, pause. Here we're talking about the kayfiyah, the howness of Allah's attributes. No one knows how Allah's attributes are except Allah. As for the other reading, the reading of Ibn Abbas, but none knows this ta'wil except Allah and those who are grounded in knowledge. This is referring to the ma'na, the meaning of the words. We know what the words mean, the meanings of the words. And Ibn Abbas himself actually said, after reciting this ayah, he said, I am from the rasikhun al-ilm. I am from those who have, or well grounded in knowledge. He's referring to the meanings. Yeah. So, inshallah we'll go through a little bit more, it may be a bit vague. Later on we'll go through this in a bit more detail inshallah. So the muhkam verses are those that are clear in meaning and cannot be distorted or misunderstood. They're clear in meaning, can't be distorted and they can't be misunderstood. The mutashabih verses are those that are not clear in meaning by themselves. And in order to properly understand them, it is necessary to look at them in light of the muhkam verses. So the mutashabih, but to understand them, you have to look at them in light of the muhkam verses, the clear-cut verses. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited the previous verse, and then he said, that verse that he mentioned, so when you see those who follow the mutashabih of the Qur'an, these are the ones whom Allah has mentioned, so beware of them. Beware of them. They seek to find out what is the meaning of these mutashabihat. Is that clear? The point of this part of the lecture is just to introduce the words muhkam and mutashabih and not actually relate them to attributes yet. Does everybody understand what muhkam and mutashabih are? Yeah? So, the question is, are the attributes of Allah mutashabih? Or are they muhkam or what? Some people, they claim that these attributes of Allah are completely and utterly mutashabih from all angles. That, however, all of the scholars of the Salaf, as we shall see inshallah in tomorrow's lectures, all the scholars of the Salaf have agreed unanimously, ijma. What's the significance of ijma, Akhziyad? Were you here this morning when you were talking about ijma?
Yeah, but they won't, will never unite upon error. The Ummah will never unite upon error. So, all of the Salaf, as we shall see inshallah, have unanimously agreed, unanimously, that the attributes of Allah are muhkam from one angle and mutashabih from another angle. They are muhkam from the angle of meaning. We know what Allah's attributes are. We know the word Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman. We know what it is. Rahmah. Okay? We know the word hand. We know what it means. We know what the word means. But they are mutashabih in the kayfiyah or the howness. We don't know this. We don't know how Allah planned this. The nature, the reality. We can't picture anything in our minds. We can't define any harness or ask how Allah's attributes are. Is that clear to everybody? It kind of follows on from what we said before. We understand the meaning of the words with regards to Allah's attributes. One such example is when Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, Istawa'u ma'loom. Istawa is known, it's ma'loom. We know what it is. Wal kayf majhool. And the howness is majhool. We don't know. Hence it is mutashabih. Is that absolutely clear? Let me understand that point. Everyone understands it? Okay, good. And this agrees with both ways of reading that previous ayah. As for the howness, no one knows its meaning except Allah. Full stop. As for the meaning, no one knows its ta'wil or its explanation except Allah and those who are grounded in knowledge. Remember that the word ta'wil here is not being used in the same context that we used in the last lecture, that we're kind of distorting the meaning. No, this is just the understanding or the explanation of the words. The Ash'a'ira, we mentioned this earlier on, a deviated sect. They have this understanding, and they claim that some of the verses pertaining to the attributes of Allah are completely mutashabih. We don't know, they're unclear, ambiguous. They are completely mutashabih both in meaning as well as in howness. They don't differentiate. So we don't know what hand means, let alone how it is. We don't even know what it is. And it's in the same way. We know what Allah's hand is. Hand is hand. But how it is, we don't know. It's mutashabih. They say that we do not know the meaning of the word describing Allah's attributes as well as the howness, which I just mentioned. And then from there they split into two categories. Those who claim that the apparent meanings of attributes can be explained away, make that we love. Okay? As we've seen, this is really tahrif, it's really distortion. Because there's no evidence for what they do. They claim they're making ta'wil, explaining it. And then there are those who claim that the way of the Salaf is to relegate the meaning for Allah. And this is really ta'wil, but they call it tafwid. They say that we don't know what the words mean. We don't know. It's just like X. We don't know what it is. X. If I said to you, Allah has an X, we know what it is. We don't know. Let alone, how is it? However, this is a very false
misguided understanding. Because there we are stripping Allah, or they are stripping Allah of His attributes. And in fact, they're unjust because they do it to some of them and they don't do it to all of them without any evidence again. So they say, for example, that Allah's Rahmah is Ar-Rahim, but He doesn't possess the quality of having Rahmah, mercy. Is Ar-Rahim without Rahmah? Is Al-Basir without Basr? Is Al-Seer without Seen? Some of them say that. Some of them go to that extent. This claim is rejected, baatil and futile, because it implies certain things. This claim implies, okay, this claim of what? What's the claim? Who can tell me what the claim is that we're talking about? Come on. Yeah, that the names and attributes of Allah are absolutely mutashabih, they're unclear, both from the meaning angle and the awareness angle. This claim is batil, because it's futile, because it implies the following thing. Firstly, it implies that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has revealed in His books, in His book, verses which, if taken apparently as they came, they mislead and deceive rather than guide. They mislead and deceive rather than guide. So he says, Allah has a hand, or two hands, but He doesn't really have two hands. You know, what kind of game is this? What kind of game? Allah says, we didn't create in a plane, that would be. We didn't create you playfully, just paraphrasing the ayah, in a state of playing, Nani. Okay, just as a game. There's a reason. So, He's not going to play games with us in the Quran. He's telling us, yes, He created Adam with His two hands, but in reality, He doesn't have two hands in the first place. You know, what is His claim? Likewise, it implies that Allah didn't reveal the truth concerning His attributes, but He hinted at them in vague terms that can't be understood except by distorting their meaning. I mean, come on. Yeah, it implies the same thing, then. It implies that Allah requires His servants not to believe in the apparent meaning of what He reveals, but in the exact opposite of what the verses clearly state. So here, Allah says He's got two hands, but He doesn't mean that. He doesn't really have two hands. You have to believe in the exact opposite, otherwise you're deviating. This is what is claimed. This is what their claim implies. Again, that Allah always reveals verses concerning His attributes which His apparent meaning oppose the actual truth. Likewise, those things that claim it implies that the best of this ummah, the Salaf, what's the proof that they were the best of this ummah? Ah, Mahmoud. What's the proof? You have to be alert, you see. What's the proof that the Salaf, who's the Salaf first of all? First few generations of Islam. So what's the proof that they were the best of this ummah? We mentioned it earlier on, a few times. Nabil? Huh? Nabil? Can you remember? Yeah, kind of. Absolutely. Good, excellent. Remember this, brothers and sisters. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي, the best of mankind is my generation. And then those who followed them, and then those who followed them. So we are obliged to follow them. So the best of the Ummah, their kind, in Tunisia, the best of this Ummah, the Salaf, they didn't really understand this concept. And none of their statements can be found to agree with the Ash'ari. None of the statements of the Salaf say, you can't take Allah's attributes as the king. With the implied meaning, with the implied meaning that it is. And hand doesn't really mean hand. And istawa doesn't really mean istawa. None of these statements were found from the Salaf. Not a single one. None of the opposite is found, as we'll see tomorrow, inshallah. Either the Salaf were ignorant of it, or they hid the truth. Which one are they claiming? You can see these points here. Yeah? And then finally, if that view, if they are still carrying on with that view, then that view implies that if the Ash'ari are correct, then it would have been wiser and more beneficial not to reveal these verses in the first place concerning Allah's names and attributes. Because the Ummah is confused about it, and there's lots of controversies in this day and age with regards to Allah's names and attributes. So what's the point of revealing them anyway? What's the point of saying Allah created His Abdul with two hands when He doesn't really have two hands? You know, why try to mislead the people? This is what their claim implies. And when you find yourself in discussion with such people, they will never bring evidences. They will always twist and turn your words and definitions. And say, yeah, but this means this and this means that. And then this makes your mind a bit crazy. And that is the way of the philosophers, and they are from the philosophers. We find many da'is, many callers, I would say callers to innovation, rather than callers to Islam, famous and very popularly followed, and their da'wah is widespread. They have this aqidah. Beware. This is their claims almost. What did Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, died 436 after Hijrah, what did he say with regards to this point? He said, as for the attributes of Allah, then all that has been narrated in the authentic Sunnah, the methodology of the Salaf is to affirm them and to take them on their zahir meanings. The word zahir is used. They claim that this is not from the Salaf. Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi uses the word zahir. He says, the methodology of the Salaf is to affirm them and to take them on their apparent meanings, but at the same time to deny any resemblance of harness or resemblance or harness to them. Some groups deny these attributes, so they ended up denying what Allah Himself has affirmed. Other groups tried to affirm them in such a manner that they ended up comparing them to the attributes of the creation. And the proper methodology, he says, is to take the middle course between the two extremes. For the religion of Allah is between the extremes. And the basic principle, he continues, in this regard, is that to speak of the attributes of Allah just in the same way as speaking about the essence of Allah, the Zat of Allah, when you talk about Allah Himself. So therefore the same methodology is followed. So as it is well known that to affirm the Creator, subhanahu, is in reality an affirmation of the existence of the Creator, and not how He exists. We affirm that He exists, but we don't affirm how He exists. Likewise, the affirmation of His attributes is an affirmation of their existence and not an affirmation of their howness, their actuality, the kayfiyyah. So if we say Allah has a hand, or He hears, or He sees, or He has hearing and seeing, then these are all attributes that Allah has affirmed for Himself. And we do not say
Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi mentions. And we do not say that the meaning of yad, hand, is power. No, that the meaning of hearing and seeing is knowledge. Listen how he refutes these people. Neither do we say that all of these are physical limbs. So we do not compare these attributes with hands and with ears and eyes of the creation, which are physical limbs and organs by which these attributes occur. Rather we say that it is obligatory to affirm these attributes since they were found in the Quran and the Sunnah, and it is obligatory to negate any resemblance between them. Because Allah has said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing right unto him, and he is the all-hearer, the all-seer. This is quoted in Al-Mukhtasar al-Ulum. Okay. Inshallah. This one? Okay, if you want to copy this, it's down, it's not in the notes. Oh. Yeah, I'll just pass the slide to you. So look how he says that we do not affirm Allah's hand in power. A very famous, very, very famous da'i of today. Very eloquent speaker, I must admit. He says that the salaf differed. This is his quote. He says that some have differed. Some of them made tafweel and some of them made ta'weel. Do you find the salaf different? No. We don't find. Rather, as Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi he mentioned, and he is the scholar from the 4th century of Islam, he quotes the Salaf with this understanding. Is that 100% clear so far? Inshallah, as I said, tomorrow, this is just a summary of this, that's why I brought this long statement here. The specifics, we will go through inshaAllah tabarak wa ta'ala, a whole list of statements from the first 300 years of Hijrah, after Hijrah. And we will bring scholars who the Ummah have united upon, inshaAllah, to show their understanding of Allah's names and attributes. Inshallah, at this point, I think it's appropriate to have a 5-minute break and then we can continue after that, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Amma ba'd. So, we've dealt with one of the ways that the innovators have tried, or a few of the ways actually, but one that they try to distort or deny, rather, the attributes of Allah, is that they claim that the attributes of Allah are completely mutashabih, they're completely unclear. And we said that the Salaf unanimously agreed upon the fact that the attributes of Allah are both muhkam and mutashabih. They're muhkam and clear-cut from the angle of being, we know the meaning, it's clear-cut, it's kalam ma'lum. And they're mutashabih from the angle of, we don't know the kayfiyah or the highness of Allah's attributes. And another way that they seek to deny Allah's names and attributes, inshallah we'll explain this concept in a second way. And that is claiming that the attributes of Allah are majazi. So inshallah the topic of this discussion is first of all, what is haqiqi and what is majazi? Well, haqiqi is something, is haqiqi, but it means that it is a word which is used in its literal sense, yeah, i.e. its original and primary intent, is known as being haqiqi. So for example, when you use the word offspring to your sons and daughters, it's a haqiqi meaning. If a word is used in a metaphorical sense, majazi it is called, with a meaning or connotation other than the primary use of this word, and it is known as being majazi, metaphorical. For example, applying the word offspring to your grandchildren is actually a majazi meaning, it's not actually a literal or haqiqi meaning. I'll give an example, inshallah, maybe a stupid example, but perhaps it may give the point. If a person was to say, Fulan, or such and such, he's got a bush on his head. He's got a bush on his head. It is clear that we're not actually saying that that person has got a physical bush with branches and leaves and whatever growing out of his head. You're saying what you are doing, you are resembling, or you are metaphorically using the word bush to mean that his hair is perhaps too long, or perhaps it's, you know, it sticks out, or yeah, I think you get the idea. Hey, don't be pointing. So examples where Allah uses the word, uses majaz in the Quran. He uses the metaphorical meanings. When he says, and know unto them, the parents, the wing of submission and humility. We're talking about a physical, literal, haqiqi wing. It's the wing of submission and humility. Majaz. Likewise, in Surah Al, this should be Surah Yusuf. It's a mistake, novels. I only had a week to prepare these notes. Surah Yusuf. Allah says, فَسْأَلْ الْقَرْيَةِ. So off the town. Off the town. It is well known that you can't ask a physical town. You can't ask the town, the place. What it means is ask the people of the town. Ask the people of the town. So it's a majazi, some ulama say. Likewise, Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, a wall that wished to collapse. It didn't actually wish, because it can't wish to collapse. But it is as though it was wishing to collapse, in the sense that it was weak. So these are examples of what would be called majaz by a lot of ulama. I say a lot of ulama, because a number of scholars throughout history, such as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, this is a title given to him by other scholars at his time, and by Allah, if you read some of his works, you really understand why the title was given to him. He was able to refute people with their own words, like the philosophers. I mean, if you read his books, finally, it's mind-blowing. It's in his Majmu'a Fatawa, a book of his collection of all his, of a lot of his books and fatawa. You read the reputation of some of the Sufiya and the philosophers and the Ash'ariya and, you know, and various other sects. You'll find that he uses their own words to show their contradictions. And, you know, mashallah, he was a genius. As even his enemies, they understand. So he, Shaykh al-Islam, he died 724 Hijrah. And there is a Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinqiti, rahmatullah alayhi, recent scholar, who died 1393 Hijrah, not very long ago, 2700 years ago. He denied, these scholars, they denied the existence of majaz in the Quran. And in fact, they denied it in the Arabic language. And it still is a debate amongst the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, whether majaz actually exists in the Quran. I mean, Allah alam, I think one of the, I don't know how they explained some of these ayats, but I do know some of these explanations are quite convincing. For example, when Allah says, فَسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةِ, He actually says, this is not majaz, but this is the two interpretations that I've read. One is that there's a taqdeer in the ayah. Taqdeer meaning is words that are implied, which you put in brackets, but they're not mentioned. So for example, a taqdeer, an example of taqdeer would be, there are, you know, there's say 20 people in this room. There are 20 people in this room. There's a taqdeer in that word. There's a word that's implied and is necessary, but it's not mentioned. The word, and that word is the word present. There are 20 words, so 20, you know, people present in this room. So I don't have to say the word present because it's implied. There are 20 people in this room. So I'm actually meaning there are 20 people present in this room. Not 20 people sleeping, 20 people dead, or whatever. I'm saying 20 people present in this room. Okay? And this is one way of explaining it. The other explanation is that they say that this is literal, which Allah alam, I don't understand myself. Important point though, I only mention this because the innovators will mention this. And if you don't know how to answer it, then, you know, they'll say, oh look, here's majaz, and some of the ulama or your scholars, they don't accept majaz. The important point to note is that the existence of majaz is a matter of ijtihad. It's a matter of difference of opinion amongst ulama. It's not something that's a matter of clear-cut aqidah or belief. So you can't be considered an innovator if you either, whether you deny it or whether you affirm it, majaz. Okay, it's a matter of ijtihad. As such, it's not correct to say that this concept is a point of difference between Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the people of innovation. It's not correct to make imtihan or testing someone on this point, do you accept majaz or not? And if he does or he doesn't, depending on what your position is, and he takes the opposite, then you consider him to be an innovator. And he takes your position on this, and you consider him to be Ahl Sunnah. It's not permissible, because this is a matter of ijtihad. Many of the innovators, they say that Allah's attributes, which are mentioned in the Quran, in the Sunnah, they are actually majazi. They are metaphorical. And they use this understanding to deny the meanings of these attributes, to deny the attributes. So they say, and remember, so out of those four or five words that you mentioned at the beginning, beginning with T, what would this come under, saying that this is majazi? Sorry? No. Tahrif, good. This is in reality distorting them, because he's saying the hand of Allah is majazi, metaphorical for the power, qudra of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, is metaphorical for quwwa of Allah. Okay? Qudra, capability, quwwa, power. One way of translating. They said this is metaphorical. So this is probably one of the main reasons why those scholars, they denied the existence of majaz in order to kind of counteract this aqidah, this thought process, or this false understanding. Is that clear? So everybody's clear on what is majaz and what is haqiqi. Majaz, metaphorical, haqiqi, in apparent meaning, apparently as it came, without meaning anything other than that. The attributes of Allah cannot be majazi. By ijma of the linguists, the scholars of the language, that all words are taken in their haqiqi meaning unless there is a proof to the contrary. Unless there is a proof to the contrary. Example of that. When I say such and such has a bush on his head, what's the proof that we can't take this in the haqiqi manner? Who can tell me? If I said such and such has got a bush on his head, what is the proof that I don't actually mean he's got a physically, you know, a physical bush growing out of his head, with leaves and whatever, in the haqiqi meaning? Who can tell me what the proof of that is? It's impossible. It is well known that a person cannot grow leaves out of his head, and you know, it's well known. It can't be done. So therefore that is a proof that that's not the case. Because you know that it can't be done. So it's a proof that you have to take it majazi. In the same way, the throne of Allah, Allah's arsh, it has to be taken haqiqi, because there is no way that we can experience or understand Allah's throne. We haven't seen it. We have not seen Allah's throne. So we can't say this is majazi or not majazi, because we don't know. We only know what Allah tells us. If Allah tells us something, we have to accept it. Is that clear? Okay? Because we can't say this is not really the case. Just like, for example, if I said such and such has got a bush on his head, you can clearly say no, it's not the case. Because you know the opposite. You know it cannot be the case. It's well known. Right? So you can take the majazi meaning. Well, you have to take the majazi meaning. But if a person, if one was to say, one was to talk about Allah, you haven't seen Allah, the only way of knowing Allah is by trusting what he himself, or the Messenger of Allah, have told us about Allah. And since it is not well known about Allah, except that which he has told us, that's the only way of knowing him, we have to accept it in the haqiqi manner. Is that clear? Yeah? In fact, the opposite is the case. There's no proof for it, for what they say, but the opposite. There's proof for the opposite. Why? Because Allah said, and His throne was over the water. And His throne was over the water. So it shows that there is a haqiqi understanding there. We understand throne is throne. But how is Allah's throne? We do not know. We don't know. Because we haven't seen it. We can't say it's metaphorical because we haven't seen it. It's not something well known. The only thing that's well known is what Allah told us. So we have to accept it as it came. In the haqiqi meaning. Is that clear? Likewise, the fundamentals of Iman, the usul al-Iman, the fundamentals of faith, such as the names and attributes of Allah, cannot be unclear and vague. How is it possible? In the same way that Allah, you know, He says hands, but He doesn't really mean hand. In the same way, how is it that Allah can say hands, but it really means power? It's so unvague. And you have to go through, you know, so much effort and try to understand what Allah means. In fact, majan is so stupid for the reason that one person may say Allah's hand means power, and another person could say Allah's hand doesn't mean power, it means His forgiveness. You know, what basis do you say that this is majazi? Because Allah hasn't said it, the Prophet hasn't said it, the Salaf of this Ummah haven't said it. So, what shows that your understanding of majazi, of what the majaz implies, what the metaphorical meaning is, what is the proof that what your metaphorical meaning is, that what the proof that is correct over and above somebody else's explanation of what the metaphorical meaning is? Is that clear? There's no proof. So the only way we can understand Allah, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا, and none can encompass Allah in knowledge. The only way we can understand our Lord is by what He Himself has told us, or the verses of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. If they didn't say this is majazi, then in the same way Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say this is not majazi, it is haqiqi. In fact, the Quran, it describes itself as being a revelation in clear, simple Arabic. It's clear. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. It is a guidance for mankind as a whole. And a clear explanation, بَيِّنَات, مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ, of the guidance and the criterion between what is right and wrong. Allah shows this is guidance for mankind. What? How can they claim that when Allah says one thing doesn't really mean it means something else, even though there's no proof for it? That wouldn't be guidance. And the fact of the matter is that the concept of majaz, metaphorical interpretation, it rests upon that which is well known. So it cannot be extended to the ghayb, the unseen, that we haven't seen. Can't extend it to the ghayb. Why? When it is said, for example, that Zayd was a lion in battle, everyone understands it's a majazi, right? Zayd can't physically be a lion. It's not haqiqi. Everyone knows that the literal meaning can't be true. Do they know what it means? Everyone knows what it means. Zayd was brave in battle. This understanding only exists because it is well known that it's not possible for Zayd to be an actual lion. How dare they claim that it is well known that Allah's hands can't really be hands? Even though Allah didn't say so, His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say so,
the Salaf of this Ummah didn't say so. Were they ignorant of this? We shall see. In fact, they said the complete and utter opposite. And I'm emphasizing this is because, inshallah, the statements that we'll go through tomorrow will completely destroy the arguments of these people. They don't have a leg to stand on, in the metaphorical sense. To claim that some of the verses that mention Allah's attributes are majazi is to claim by implication that all of them are majazi, because there's no valid criteria to distinguish between the attributes. So one example of that could be, if they're claiming the hand of Allah is majazi, is metaphorical, then why don't they claim that the existence of Allah is metaphorical as well? He doesn't really exist, it's metaphorical. It's an attribute of Allah. Why don't they claim that Allah's knowledge is majazi as well? Because they don't claim that. They say it's haqiqi. They know that Allah knows everything. In a way, the Prophet's majesty, our knowledge is different to Allah's knowledge. His is perfect, ours is limited. Ours is preceded by ignorance and follows up with forgetfulness. But Allah's knowledge was never it was never preceded by ignorance, and it will never be followed by forgetfulness and so on. So they consider the attributes of knowledge, living, hearing, seeing, to be haqiqi and dissimilar to the creation. Yet they consider attributes such as the face of Allah, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and the face of Allah remains possessing jalal and ikram. So the hand of Allah created Adam with his two hands. We have the eye and the shin, and there's other ahadith and ayat to prove these attributes. But the point is, why is it that they affirm one thing in haqiqi sense and they don't affirm another thing in the haqiqi sense? They call it majazi. Why? Because the things that in their minds shows tashbih, shows likening to the creation, they will say, we have to make this majazi or mutashabih, unclear. But the things that they can accept in their minds, which are haqiqi, they can understand that Allah's, those particular attributes are different to our attributes. So why are they so unjust? Why are they so unjust? In fact, they say, that anything that implies a jism, anything that implies a limb or a bodily or a body, this must be taken to mean majazi. And anything that doesn't imply jism must be taken haqiqi, literally or apparently. So for example, what they say is, hearing of Allah doesn't imply, by definition, doesn't imply in their minds a jism. So therefore, we'll accept it in a haqiqi manner. And then they say, the hand of Allah automatically means a jism, a limb, that extends from the arm, the definition we give. And so therefore, they say, this implies a jism in the wording itself, and therefore, it should be explained away in the majazi sense.
Or, and some of them say made mutashabih, just unclear, we don't know.
This is flawed. This argument has many flaws in it. One, what seems to you to imply a jism may not imply to somebody else a jism, a body. And what seems to you not to imply a jism may imply a jism to somebody else. For example, they say Allah's living is hayah, doesn't imply a jism, a body. So we take that as it came, literally, haqiqi meaning. But Allah's hand implies a bodily limb. So we take that majazi, as majaz, being metaphorical, or mutashabih, or meaning. We don't know what it is. But then, from that same understanding, what if another person comes along, and he says, but hold on a minute, as for the attribute of living, I just cannot understand that anything can live without a body. He may not understand that. He may have it in his mind that anything that lives has got a jism. So he says, every time I think of the word hayah or al-hayy, the one who's living, I think of a body in my head. As wallahi, your brother said to me just maybe a week ago or so, or maybe less. You know? He said, every time I think of Allah, I get this picture of a man. Because he came from a Christian background. He became Muslim. Lillahi alhamd. So, it shows that their understanding of what has a jism is not the same as how somebody else's understanding in what has a jism. Or implies a jism, or a body. So, the reality is that we should affirm the attributes of Allah in their apparent meaning, haqiqi meaning, as they came, that's what haqiqi means, as they came, without making majaz, and without putting a kayfiyah in your minds, just like you understand that Allah hears, in a way that befits His mercy. He hears the sound that is coming out of my mouth. He hears this sound. He hears everything. He hears me walking on this carpet. Perhaps some of us can't hear that. Allah Ta'ala is all hearing. But He hears in a way that befits His majesty. Our hearing is limited. So perhaps the definition of hearing or sound, hearing sound, in this world could be, the definition is what they give, not, you know, it's, so the hearing of sound could be the hearing of these, you know, these air particles or whatever, I can't remember the physics of it, but, and that could be in a definition. So to somebody that could imply some creative, quick, I mean, some sort of organ, yeah. So you know you're hearing the particle in the way that, I don't know, I can't remember the explanation. But the point is, to somebody it could imply that, but they affirm Allah hears, literally, in a way that with His majesty, but how, we don't know. In the same way, the definition of wine in this world is something that intoxicates, a drink that intoxicates. That's the definition of khamr. That is the definition of khamr. But in the hereafter, Allah negates the whole definition that you've given it by saying, by telling us that the wine will be pure, it won't be intoxicating. And you've destroyed the whole definition in this world. So the point is, the definition we give the thing is not necessarily the correct definition as such. What one has to understand is we understand the meaning of the word wine. Wine is wine. But the way the wine will be in the hereafter is different to the wine in this life. We understand what pomegranate means. You know what it is. But the way it will be in the hereafter is different to the way it is here. But it's still a pomegranate. A pomegranate is a pomegranate. Again, I emphasize, I'm only using this example to show the language. I'm not comparing with Allah. In the same way, the usage of this language, of the language, shows that Allah's hand is a hand in a way that befits His Majesty. It's dissimilar. Laysa kamithlihi shay. It is absolutely dissimilar to the hands of the creation. Is that clear? Is that clear, yeah? So at this point, inshallah, I'll open the floor to some questions with regard to what we've covered so far. So far, we've been using a lot of logical proofs, a lot of intellectual proofs, because a lot of the time these people, they won't accept Quranic proofs. And we brought some Quranic proofs and Hadithi proofs already, but inshallah tomorrow we'll show the understanding of the Salaf on this. And perhaps the brothers and sisters, if you could read through the notes, the rest of the notes, just to make it so that we can go, you know, so you know what to kind of expect tomorrow with some of the statements of the Salaf. And then we will bring the wajhul istidlal, wajhul dalala, for all of these points, inshallah, so then you can understand it yourself properly, without any doubt, with full yaqeen.